Wilson is going to share our main scripture for this morning. You can follow along on the screen, or if you have a Bible with you, you can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Hi, Kate. Amen. Thank you, Kay and Kate Rose. Great job as always. And very appropriate that Kate Rose came up with Kay today, because what I want to talk with you today is about family. Family is a value and a priority that you can observe, if you pay attention, you can observe within the entire biblical narrative. You can find the value of family. From cover to cover of the Bible, God's most powerful vessel for the passing on of faith, of the knowledge of God, for God's commandments and passing on God's traditions, has been the family from cover to cover. Genealogies are shared in the earliest chapters throughout the Bible to emphasize the importance of family and the validity of what's being shared. And in places like Deuteronomy 6, God commands his people to pass along the faith within their family as they engage in the life of being God's family together in community. Let me read this one to you. Hear, O Israel, Moses says, the words of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep those words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children, and talk about them when you are at home, and when you are away, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your head, and fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates. Now, we're going to turn to one another and write on each other's foreheads. Are you ready? No, we're not going to do that. But we see in these scriptures that God commands his people to pass on the faith within their family as they engage in the life of God's bigger family. This is what God asks of us. And Jesus, having grown up as a Jewish child in a Jewish family, learned then from his parents. They took him to the temple where he surprisingly schooled the temple leaders. They couldn't believe what Jesus was saying and teaching them. Not only was Jesus engaged in the family of God and in his own family, Jesus changed the rules. Jesus changed the rules of what it meant to be in God's family. People who were not part of God's family could now enter into it. By believing in Jesus, receiving forgiveness of sin, and following him in life with others. This is something that we've come to just maybe take for granted, possibly, because it's just how we grew up. But Jesus changed the rules of this game, and we read in the words of John what exactly Jesus did. It says this in John chapter 1, "But to all who received him, Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God." So it used to be that you had to do all just the right things according to what God had said to his people, the Israelites, if you were going to be part of God's family, and you had to do that. But now Jesus is saying, I'm going to give this to you as a gift, and you just have to believe in me and surrender your life to me, which that is a hard thing to do. And Jesus then describes this change in whose family, and the importance of family is still there, but now it's changed of who is family. We read this in Matthew chapter 12. While Jesus was still speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers were standing outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." But the one who had told him this, Jesus replied, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" And pointing to the disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Game changer here. Jesus made a way for anyone to become part of God's family, to be led by God, empowered by God, and encouraged and supported by God. And it may be difficult for us to understand that this is a life-changing and family-changing twist, changing individual lives and families, their trajectory in life because of what Jesus has now done. He has flipped the script so that sin and failure, regret, shame and guilt, and fear don't have the final say in anyone's life. Isn't that good news? That when those things pop up in your life, shame and guilt and fear and regret, that when those arise in your life, if you can trust Jesus and continue to follow him, that they don't have the final say? Good news to me. So to summarize, to be part of God's people, there are two primary ways for people to enter in to all that God has for them. The first one, the most obvious one, is it's passed on generationally. It's just handed down generation to generation. That's what we see most powerfully through the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. And the second way to enter into all that God has for us is to be invited in from existing family of God, welcomed and received into the family of God. And the second pathway is exactly what I experienced in Lake City back between the years of 2008 and 2011. I had a foundation growing up. My parents brought me to Sunday school, and I went through confirmation, you know, though I don't remember a single thing we learned, and I'm not so sure the pastor liked us, just being honest. It was super boring, okay? And like many, I don't want to excuse this behavior, but like many, as soon as I was done with confirmation, done with church. Woohoo! So super glad about that. Busyness gets in the way. My family changed churches, and now all of a sudden I didn't know anyone in the church that my sister wanted to go to. And so there I was, just wandering in life. Finished high school, entered into college, and I started to fail immensely. Huge amounts of shame, guilt, and regret. Wondering what's next, where am I going to turn, can I fix any of this? Can anyone help me? But I didn't want help. You know what I mean? And I kept trying to fix my mistakes on my own. And the loneliness that I was experiencing was eating me alive. And it kept getting worse. With every year, with every passing season, with every month, I just kept making more and more mistakes, and the loneliness was eating me up. And somehow, by God's grace and a sequence of steps, I found a church that welcomed me, that didn't just say, "Hey, glad you're here, there's the bathrooms." They welcomed me, they invited me in, they had me into their homes, they took me out for lunch, they invested in me, and they taught me by word and example what it meant to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus. And yes, they became like family to me. They became like family, and they made it possible for my family now, yes, my immediate family, but also my family of origin, to start to heal and experience redemption of God, none of which would have been possible unless they would have welcomed me into their family. What I found in 10 years of being a pastor, which, yes, 10 years, almost to the day, and now I'm retiring early. What's so bad about that, right? What I found in 10 years of being a pastor is that my experience, the second pathway into the family of God, is actually more of the rare path. There's a mixture of journeys and experiences that are present among us today and in most churches, but many church people have had their faith passed on to them by family. Is that true for you? I'm looking around this room, and those of you who I know that that's probably true. Either someone in your family or someone very close to you. And that's kind of like what Timothy experienced. And this stunned me as I read this, and it's part of why I chose this specific text to read with you today, as I'm talking about the importance of family in the Bible. Let me just read this line to you again. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, expressing great love and support for Timothy, writes this to him. "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and now, I'm sure, lives in you." Isn't that fascinating? Timothy was a student of the Apostle Paul, and he was invested in by Paul and given a lot of responsibility by Paul and other church leaders to share the good news about Jesus, that anyone could now be welcomed into the family of God. And Paul and Timothy were very close in what you could say is kind of like a mentor relationship. If you read this portion of this text again and the entire book of 1 and 2 Timothy, you get a sense of just how much Timothy means to Paul. Now, Paul and Timothy are very close, and Timothy was given a foundation in his faith by, you guessed it, his mother and his grandmother. For Timothy, it wasn't just family or a leader that helped him. It wasn't just family or a pastor. It wasn't just a youth pastor. It wasn't just family. It was both for him. He needed his church, his family, his foundation, the faith that was passed on to him, and he needed a leader who would invest in him. And that's what we all need. We need the foundation of people close to us, investing in us, sharing the faith with us, and then leaders to help us get to the next place for either us or our family. This is how the faith has worked, passed on generation to generation. And if you look at the history of churches in the United States, all the way down to our local history, you see the same pattern of generational faith. I'm guessing you've seen this. If you haven't, please tell me afterwards. This is completely absurd. This is the pattern that you see. Grandma and grandpa pass the faith on to mom and dad, so to speak, in the family. Then mom and dad pass it on to the kids. And then the kids pass it on to the grandkids, and so on and so forth. And that continues to cycle. Now, beliefs and convictions, values, traditions were then literally handed off taught by word and example, intergenerationally. In this way of living out faith in God led to churches thriving in America and in our specific community, led to churches thriving beyond anyone's wildest dreams. This time that we've just come out of and now we're on the decline in, seeing church attendance decline, that was greater than anybody could have ever imagined, that churches would be full and we would have all these powerful ministries. And that's because the faith was handed down generation to generation, carefully, methodically, powerfully, by word and example. And then, at some point in history, gaps started to emerge. Complex and powerful changes started to happen in the midst of the life of the church. And for one reason or another, generational gaps made it difficult to pass on the faith. Now all of a sudden, grandma and grandpa are there, but not mom and dad. Or now the kids don't want anything to do with church. And now we could talk for a long time about all the complex reasons, but there are many and they are complex. And it's not just sports on Sundays. Sorry. It's not the only reason. It goes back actually to the invention of the car and people being able to get the car. Now all of a sudden, instead of living in close community and you just stay where you're planted and you're invested in your local church, now people can move several hours away from their family. Well, how do you hand off the faith to someone who lives 2 or 3 or 10 hours away from you? And go even back further than that, banks. Let's get mad about banks, should we? This is a complex change. Other things like unbelief. People saying, you know, I'm not so sure that what my parents taught me is what I believe. I'm not so sure about that anymore. Or church wounds. Or grief and not knowing how to deal with it. All these are reasons for people disengaging with the church, at least at the same rhythm that they had in the past. But maybe the most common reason for difficulty in passing on the faith is busyness. What used to happen naturally in community, just more through absorbing those things and passing them off intentionally and powerfully through relationship, what used to happen naturally now takes a ton of extra effort and intentionality. It's just the truth. If we're all here at different times and we come and we go and sometimes we may not see each other for months and months, how are we then going to pass on the faith to someone else? How are we going to welcome in somebody who's not part of God's family if we're not there? Please hear me. I'm not shaming anybody. I'm just naming the truth. That now what used to happen naturally takes a ton of extra effort and intentionality. I did not say it's impossible. I just said that it takes a lot of work. And still, the truth remains that faith in God, a meaningful faith in God, a life-changing faith in God, and relationship with God is passed on person to person. That truth will not change. It's passed on from person to person through our closest relationships. It was passed on to me through my mentor who I just had lunch with last week. Yes, even still. He says he's in heaven's waiting room. He continues to pass on his faith and how it's changing and growing. He continues to pass it on to me through the vessel of our close relationship. For most of us, this shows up in one of two ways. We pass on the faith through family or someone who becomes like family. We say that all the time, don't we? This is our church family. This is our church family. Friends, your attendance or your engagement in church may change. And in my opinion, we're just getting started. Okay? We're just getting started. And these things may continue to change, but these foundational truths will not change. Jesus' commandments will not change. That's why we call them truth. Jesus says to love God and your neighbor as you love yourself. And he also says to make disciples. So to teach people in your family and other people who aren't part of God's family, teach them what it means to belong to God and to follow Jesus in this life. So my encouragement to you in this last Sunday, me being your pastor, is that no matter where you are, start where you're at. Live out of your strength and your primary value, which is, I've observed, family. I know that family is your value and your strength. It is your value and strength. I've seen it, and you've shared it. I observed it. But way back in 2020, before everything blew up, just like a month or two before everything shut down during the pandemic, our administrative council had a visioning kind of exercise where we had a list of values of all the things. Here are your values, and we're trying to identify what are the shared values that we have as a church. And the number one value was family. And I'll be honest with you, as an outsider, I rolled my eyes. Okay. Yeah, church family, okay, yeah. But it's true. I've seen it, especially since that time, as we've all had to prioritize different things, as things have gotten harder, as our world has gotten scarier. I've seen how people have placed family as their primary value, and it's really difficult as your pastor to say, you shouldn't do that. Like, I'm never going to do that, right? But I'm telling you that that family as a value, your family value that you have lived and given me an example of, has changed me. And it's given me a vision of what my family can be. And I thank you for that. I thank you that you've stayed consistent in your values so that I could observe them, so that I could then take that as part of my own and implement that with my children and even my extended family. To say, how can we be a family that is healed and redeemed by God's grace? Family is your core value in this community. I affirm it. After all that, I affirm it. So, this is my charge to you. Live into it. Don't try to be someone you're not as a church or whatever church you belong to. We can't be a church like Hosanna. We can't be a church like Hillside. We can't be a church that's growing and thriving and having all these ministries. I know that that was the dream here. We can't compete with Hosanna. But you know what's also true? Hosanna can't compete with us. People come to a church like this because they want to be seen and known. So don't try and be somebody that you're not. Live into your strength. Be a church that prioritizes relationship. Do that and do it well, and there is nothing that will stop you, especially when, like Paul says to Timothy, that you will be empowered by the Holy Spirit in this work. We can't compete with a church like Hosanna, but Hosanna can't compete with us. No chance. Not when you put your heart and mind into it. Not when you give it your best effort, passing the faith through these two primary means. Have a retired pastor here today. There may be more than these two primary means. Pass it through your family or becoming like family to one another. Seems pretty simple to me, though incredibly complex. So if you're wondering where can I start, I would say to you, start within the most natural of place. Start within your home. Start with inviting people over for meals. I'm telling you, it changed my life. It changed the trajectory of my family and continues to change the trajectory of my family. Not just me, but my parents, my sister and her family. Start with a meal. It's simple. And then start to go deeper. Small groups and studies. You could watch a TV show. The Chosen is something that people like. It really helps them understand more about God. You could listen to podcasts together as a family or books on tape as you're traveling. It's not tape, it's an app now, right? Okay. You know, family, there's so many resources out there, family-oriented things, either for you or either for your family or just you as an individual. Read devotions together or just find some sort of middle ground. I'll show you. I'm not just saying this for you and only me as a father of two young children. I've struggled to find that time where I can feel connected with God. And as much as I'd like to say, this is our program, Gina, like you're going to teach this and I'm going to teach that. And it's not how it works in our family either. Instead, we've just started reading this family Bible. And I tried to introduce it to them at first, and they wanted nothing to do with it for a couple of years. And actually, we started by recommendation of a friend. We started with the Berenstain Bears Bible. Okay, now there's the middle ground. Still not my favorite, but we're moving in the right direction, right? And now, as I read this, I'm saying, I'm actually learning from this. And this is actually, a lot of this family Bible, this specific one, is actually, a lot of it's the same words that you would find in the Bible. So I had to adjust to now, was we read this together as we engage in family discipleship. That's some days, that's my time with the Lord, is together. And it's not trying to fit into a specific mold or even, you know, you don't have to use this specific book, but just finding the way that God is inviting you within the limits of your life or within the blessings of your life to find a way to be intentional together. And again, you may not have a family. You might say, well, this is impossible for me. Then I'm telling you, be like family to someone else. Go deep in community because that's what changes lives. That's how we receive God's grace and receive the truths of the gospel. Do what you can. Be intentional. I'll just give you an example, for I won't name who he is, but I've heard of an example within our local community, a friend who is super busy with sports. 3 kids, super busy, just going this way, that way, gone every weekend, all the things. But if they're gone, he shared that they will actually, if they can't go to church, they'll do devotionals in the long car rides. They'll read the either from a book or from an app or whatever. They'll read it or listen to it, and then they talk about it. What did you think? What did you think? And that's all it really has to be. It doesn't have to be super complex. And as ideal as it would be if we were all plugged into a church and just continue to keep things how they're going, I understand now after 10 years that it's not real life. That we gotta figure out how to recapture our strength and to live into it. Not just as a church, but also as individuals and as families. Live into your strengths. So here again, these words from Paul to Timothy again as we close today. Let me read this to you. I am reminded of your sincere faith Timothy had. A sincere faith. A faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And now, I am sure, lives in you. God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. And lastly, he tells, in this passage, he tells Timothy, guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. So may we, Cornerstone and Lake Crystal community, embrace all that God has for us through these primary means. Invest in our family. Become like family to one another. And invite as many people as we can to become children of God, receiving grace upon grace from Jesus. I'm telling you, I am living proof that family, church family, God's family becomes the space where God redeems and heals people's lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.